That I have foibles, and perhaps many of them I shall not deny, I should esteem myself as the world would, vain and empty were I to arrogate perfection. So said our northern neck-born first president, quoted in an amazing tell-all book called The True George Washington by Ford Lester Ford and published in 1896. And since the foibles of more current powerful men are gushing out, filling the airwaves and every other possible medium, I thought I'd join the foible fray. To the constant question of why do powerful men commit more than their share of infidelity, there seems to be dominant threads, some of which are, well, few consequences, narcissism, feelings of invulnerability, compulsiveness, a need to take risks, and then there's temptation. And how one responds to temptation is perhaps one of the keys to the never-ending saga of the foible follies. President Washington wrote in a letter to an admirer, "Madam, when once the woman has tempted us and we have tasted the forbidden fruit, there's no such thing as checking our appetites, whatever the consequences may be." So, does that mean our first president succumbed to temptation? Well, if so, he'd be the first in a long line of presidential succumbers. History and the tabloids tell us that very nearly every one of our presidents, possibly with the exception of a few, were guilty to some degree of infidelity. Well, back to George Washington and power. He wrote that in his youth, he had to sue for the favor of the fair one. Later, as author Ford wrote, he was not merely a good-looking young fellow, but now he was a hero who had stood firm when scarlet-coated men had run away. In short, he was a figure bigger than life. And that is, according to psychologists and such, very attractive to some women who then make themselves temptingly, aggressively available. Well, what did Ford Lester Ford, writing, remember, in 1896, say about succumbing? Quote, "By a slow evolution, we have well nigh discarded from the lives of our greatest men of the past all human faults and feelings. Indeed, with such characters as Washington, Franklin, and Lincoln, we've practically adopted the English maxim that the king can do no wrong," unquote. Now, let's time travel to 2011. From an article about infidelity and world leaders in Commentary magazine. If the choice during World War II had been between an unfaithful Winston Churchill and a faithful Neville Chamberlain, who would you rather have had as prime minister? On the other hand, in the same article is this quote, "Whether we like it or not, presidents are role models, and how they conduct themselves matters." This is Thea Marshall.